Good evening. Welcome to our Wednesday night online Bible study. I hope you've had a wonderful day. Tonight we're up to our second lesson in a new series called Make New. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for this time that we have, this time to look into your word. Lord, and as we open the Bible, I just pray that you would speak to our hearts, open our minds, Lord, to what you would have for us, Jesus. We pray this in your precious name. Amen. This week's lesson is called A New Purpose. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, the Bible tells us that anyone who is in Christ is a new creation. The old has passed away and everything is made new. And in this series, we will explore how Jesus makes us new and how we can walk in newness of life to reflect God's glory. So last week's lesson was called A New Life, and it looked at the Bible character Rahab. Rahab was a person who was appointed for destruction. Her city was ready to be destroyed. She was in the wrong place, but at the right time. And because she showed faith by saving the Israelite spies from the king of Jericho, she was offered a new life, which she didn't deserve. And the same with us. We don't deserve a new life, but Jesus gives us an opportunity to be born again by placing our faith in him. And through faith, we are obedient to repent of our sins. We are baptized in Jesus' name and we seek the gift of the Holy Spirit. And he is faithful to give us his Spirit. If you've not yet experienced this new birth, I encourage you to seek God, read his word, speak to someone at church about how you can be born again. Today, we'll be continuing our discussion by talking about the new purpose that we find in our new life with Jesus. I know you're at home, maybe you're by yourself, but I just want to ask a few questions of you that you can think about. The first one is, what do you think is your purpose in life? Does everyone have the same purpose? Can your purpose change over time? And how do we find our purpose? In today's lesson, called A New Purpose, we're going to read a portion of scripture from Luke chapter 5, and the focus is on the Bible character Peter. Let's start in verse 1, so Luke chapter 5, verse 1 and verse 2. It says, "So it was, as the multitude pressed about him to hear the word of God, that he, Jesus, stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two boats standing by the lake. But the fishermen had gone from them and were washing their nets." So we know one of those fishermen was Peter, or Simon Peter. This was his way of life, but it was not an easy way of life. He wasn't just going down to the sea just for some fun, to have some fishing time to relax. For him, whether or not he caught anything mattered because it provided for his family. Some days Peter might have gone out with his brothers and caught enough fish and been able to finish early and come home. He would have also had days like this very one where he had fished all night long and he didn't catch anything. Either way, it was the same for him. The next day he had to go out and he had to do it all over again. It is fitting that in these verses Peter was washing his nets. No fish meant no money and possibly no food. Certainly he wouldn't have wanted to go home empty-handed, but he didn't have a choice this day. Let's read the next three verses from verse 3 to 5. "Then he got into one of the boats," that's Jesus, "which was Simon, and asked him to put out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the multitudes from the boat. When Jesus had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, 'Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch.' But Simon answered and said to him, 'Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net.' So when Jesus was preaching, it was often in open air settings. And of course, he didn't have a PA system or anything to carry around with him. And as a result, he often spoke to large groups in places where his voice would be carried naturally. And that's why we see him preaching on a mountain, so his voice would project. So with this loud crowd gathered on this day, Jesus asked Peter to row him out onto the water so his voice could project across the water. Now, this was probably the last thing that Peter wanted to do. Remember, he had been out all night trying to fish. Jesus was a carpenter. He didn't know much about fishing. Peter said, "We have been doing this all night and I haven't caught anything. But if you insist, we will go fishing." The next few verses from verse 6 says, "And when they had done this," that means that they put the nets out as Jesus had asked him. "When they had done this, they caught a great number of fish and their net was breaking. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both the boats so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, 'Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord.'" So here we read, Peter did take his boat out. He launched out, put the nets out, just like Jesus said. Perhaps he was rolling his eyes a little because, remember, he had been out. He knew what he was doing and there were no fish. Did this carpenter not understand that they had been trying to catch fish? But Peter obeyed what Jesus said and the miraculous took place. Suddenly, Peter had so many fish in his nets that he needed help on hauling them all in. In fact, the text says that his nets began to break from the enormous catch of fish he received. Peter then fell on his face before Jesus. He didn't feel worthy. He said, "Depart from me. I'm just a sinner." But Jesus saw much more than a sinner. He saw someone who was willing to obey, even when it didn't make sense. You could say Peter fell on his face, but it would be equally right to say he fell on his faith because he placed his faith in Jesus. Jesus called Peter to a new and a greater purpose. Let's continue reading in that portion of scripture from verse 9. It says, "For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish which they had taken. And so were also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, 'Do not be afraid. From now on, you will catch men.' So when they had brought their boats to land, they forsook all and followed him." Peter saw himself as a fisherman, but Jesus saw Peter as a fisher of men. When Peter walked away from his nets that day, he was not walking away from just a hobby. He was walking away from his total purpose. He was a fisherman. However, more important than what he was walking away from was what he was walking towards. Living for Jesus is not just about what we leave behind. It is about what we pick up in its place. And we know that's so much greater than anything we leave behind. So Peter caught so many fish. He filled both the boats and their nets broke. When Peter heard the call of Jesus, Peter left his boat. He left his broken nets right where they were. And he followed Jesus. No nets meant there was no backup plan. No nets meant there was no way of existing outside of faith in Jesus. No nets meant there was no returning to his old purpose. He literally walked away from everything and followed Jesus. I've always been amazed at this scripture where Jesus went and out and found the disciples and said, "Follow me," And they did that. They left everything. I think it's amazing. Obviously, they saw something in Jesus. They saw his miracles. They heard his teachings. They knew something was different. They saw something in the life of Jesus and that life that Jesus had for them. They knew it was much greater than the life they had. And it was Jesus. Of course, they would follow him. I think it's also interesting to look back at the cultural context of rabbis and their followers at the time of Jesus. You see, back in Jesus' time, children were brought up with a strong education. It would begin at about the age of 5, and they would start to learn the scriptures. And it continued until their teen years. And that's when they started learning a trade, or if they were a woman, they would be married. A rabbi was responsible for the education of the students in the community, and the rabbis were highly revered. So the best students would then continue their education while learning a trade. And then very few of the most outstanding students sought permission to study with a famous rabbi. They would leave their home and they would travel with that rabbi for a lengthy period of time. These students were called Talmudim, which is the Hebrew word for disciple. The disciple is more than just a student learning from the teacher. It was someone who wanted to be like the teacher. Usually the student would ask permission to follow a rabbi, and they would most likely be turned away. So it was actually a great honor to be accepted by a rabbi. When the rabbi accepted the student's requests to follow them, it indicated that the rabbi felt that the student had the ability and the commitment to become like him. It showed that the rabbi had great confidence in that student. So when we get to the scripture, when we read that Jesus, a teacher, one who they called rabbi, said to these men, "Follow me," what he was saying was, "I have confidence in you. I know that you can be like me." It was such a great honor to be asked by a rabbi to follow him. For Peter, we read here, he was humbled by this request, and he knew what Jesus had to offer him was greater than anything that he already had. His whole life changed. Peter's focus changed. Peter's purpose in life changed. At one time in Peter's life, growing up, it was acknowledged that Peter wasn't quite enough to follow a rabbi. He went along with the trade that he had been brought up and taught. But this day that Jesus came, everything changed. Jesus saw Peter and offered him a new life and a greater purpose. And we are also called. Do we really recognize the magnitude of our calling? We know God has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. What an honor and a privilege that is. What do we do with that calling? Like the disciples, we are required to leave our old life behind and be willing to walk with Jesus, learning from him in all areas of our life. Like Jesus' original disciples, we are to totally devote our lives to become like Jesus. We need to spend time listening and observing Jesus, understanding scripture, and putting into practice what we learn in our daily lives. Think about Peter, and later on we know when Peter saw Jesus walking on the water, it was Peter who also followed Jesus and walked on water. Peter had that mindset. If the teacher, if the rabbi, if Jesus walked on water, Peter thought, "I will follow him. He chose me because he believed I could be like him, so I must follow him. Let's think about a similar story in the Old Testament. We know that God sent the prophet Elijah to anoint Elisha to be his successor. As Elisha was ploughing in the field with 12 yoke of oxen, Elijah placed his mantle on Elisha's shoulders. Elisha recognized that this was the call of God on his life. He asked Elijah to wait. Elisha then took the oxen and he slaughtered them. He roasted them on a fire made from the wooden yoke. Then he fed his family dinner. Elisha was eliminating his backup plan. It was all or nothing for the call of God on his life. He left everything behind for a greater purpose. If we are going to live out the purpose Jesus has for us, we must eliminate our backup plans. We have to erase any opportunity to return to our old lives. As long as the option is there, we will never fully commit to God's plan for us. So after abandoning his old purpose, Peter had to learn how to live out his new purpose. Fishing was all he had ever done. It's all he knew. Peter did not have many details about what he had to do. What does fisher of men even mean? Peter left his home behind and he began to follow Jesus. Yes, Peter experienced Jesus' miracles, but he also experienced Jesus' training over the next 3 years. Jesus taught Peter how to pray. Jesus taught Peter how to cast out devils. Jesus showed Peter how to have love and compassion, even towards those who don't deserve it. Jesus taught Peter how to meet the physical needs of others and then appeal to their spiritual needs. Walking in our God-given purpose is about more than just hearing and responding to God's call on our lives. We must go through a preparation process. We have to learn how to pray. We have to learn how to act and operate in the supernatural. We must learn how to show love and compassion towards everyone. We must learn ways that we can open others up to receiving the gospel. These are things we must learn how to do. And this preparation process involves many things. It involves prayer, definitely. It involves study of the scripture, for sure. It involves spiritual leadership. And depending on the specific call that we have in our lives, we might even have to develop a specific talent. Maybe like things like graphic design, so you can help out in the church media department. Maybe it's about playing an instrument, learning an instrument, singing, maybe doing public speaking. There are skills that we can learn to help us in the kingdom of God. Regardless of our specific purpose, the purpose of every single one of us is to share the gospel message with everyone we can. Matthew chapter 28, verse 19, it says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." We must be prepared to do this. It won't just happen. We need to prepare ourselves and learn how to go and make disciples. We need to learn scriptures so that we can use them in our witnessing. Maybe it's taking time to find the scriptures we need to share, writing them down, keeping them in your bag or in the back of your Bible so that we're ready. We have to embrace our new purpose like Peter did and make an eternal difference. We see the difference that Peter made. He was given the keys to the kingdom of heaven. He preached on the day of Pentecost and gave us the words we hear so often. Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. That's Peter, the fisherman, the boy who learned to trade, who maybe wasn't good enough to further his education, but he learned his trade. Peter, the man who God saw, who Jesus saw on that day and called him to follow him. Peter stepped into that calling. He prepared himself, he learnt, and he made a difference to the kingdom of God. So what does God have in store for you? God has given you a new life, but he's also given you a new purpose. What is the purpose that God has given to you? What are you doing to learn how to walk in that purpose? It's an exciting thing to be able to follow Jesus and to see what he has in store for our lives. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for this word that you have given us. Lord, we thank you, first of all, for this new life that you have given us. Lord, you truly have called us out of so much darkness, and you have placed us in your glorious light, and we're so thankful for that, God. Lord, you have given us this new life, but you have also given us a purpose. Lord, and I pray right now for everybody here listening to these words, Lord, that you would help us to surrender to this purpose, Lord, to have the courage to walk away from the things that we have known into the plan that you have for our lives, Lord Jesus. Lord, give us the courage, give us the determination each day to walk in the purpose that you have for us, Lord. We thank you for this, and we pray in your precious and holy name, Jesus. Amen.